Support for The Front Porch comes from WVCarFinder.com, matching West Virginia cars to West Virginians who want to buy them. It's a service of the Charleston Gazette-Mail. More at WVCarFinder.com. And you're on The Front Porch. How many times should Jim Justice debate Bill Cole for the race for West Virginia's governor? We have the leaders of the AARP and Press Association with us to talk about our debate proposal. Joining me is Lori Lynn. She's a conservative columnist who tweets at WV Pundit. Hey, Lori.
Hi, Scott.
And Rick Wilson, who is fresh off his trip to the International Goat Herding Conference in Switzerland. Hey, Rick.
Yeah, y'all should have been there.
We're looking ahead to the gubernatorial election between West Virginia's only billionaire, Jim Justice, and Senate President Bill Cole. Cole is a little bit behind in the polls right now, and he's offered to debate Justice many times in many places across the state. Justice, not so much, right? He's not indicated how many times, if at all, he plans to debate. Well, West Virginia Public Broadcasting is teaming up with two other organizations, the West Virginia AARP and the West Virginia Press Association, to offer a debate for governor. And joining us is Gaylene Miller. She's state director of the West Virginia AARP. Hey, Gaylene.
Hey, Scott.
And Don Smith, executive director of the West Virginia Press Association. Hey.
Hi, Scott.
All right. Well, let's start by talking about the proposal itself. Gaylene, what is the proposal?
Well, we are asking the candidates for who want to be the next governor of the state of West Virginia to join AARP, Public Broadcasting, and the Press Association in a debate on October 4th here in Charleston at the Clay Center.
And Don, have the candidates indicated to us one way or the other whether they're going to accept?
They are both considering. Neither has committed. That's pretty typical for this type of thing.
Gaylene, why is the AARP interested in this?
Well, we've engaged in nonpartisan voter engagement activities for 30 years. We don't endorse candidates, which I think is an important component. But we do want voters to exercise their constitutional right to vote. And if they're going to do that, then they need to be informed about where the candidates stand on issues that are important to them and their families.
In lieu of a debate, you think a cage match might be arranged?
Well, I'm hopeful that they'll go with the debate.
You know, they're both big guys. Maybe sumo wrestling match, you know? I'm trying to think it through.
Yeah, you know, it could be. Or maybe it's like submission holds or something. It depends on, like, you know, how they roll. You know, some of them might be ground and pounders, you know, where they just get them down and pummel. So,
do you think that's what West Virginia voters are looking for?
Yeah, probably.
Well, and it has been an interesting year. It seems like it's getting harder and harder to convince candidates to debate. The three of us, our three organizations, worked together to do the U.S. Senate debate between Natalie Tennant and now Senator Shelley Marcapito, and that was the only televised debate for that race at all.
Right.
What's going on, Don? What's happening that makes it harder to get people to agree to debates?
Well, I think the thing that we tend to forget about, we're in the media or we're in voter engagement, is that for the candidates, and even more so if you view the campaign, it's about winning. So they have strategies, and they want to see what works for them. So if it works well for their campaign, if it's a good choice, then they'll look at it. And if they think there's a reason not to, then they're hesitant to do it. So it becomes very much a campaign strategy as much as voter engagement.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but first, it's a tough time in West Virginia state government. More than ever, we're depending on our listeners, people just like you, who are part of our 10,000 member West Virginia Public Broadcasting Friends Group. These are people that donate at any level to help make sure that The Front Porch, West Virginia Public Broadcasting's other programs, come to you each and every day. So, if you're not a member yet and you've been waiting for a reason to do it, now is the time. I'd ask for you to please go to our website, wvpublic.org, click that donate button, and take the 2 minutes it takes to become a member at whatever level makes sense for you. Keep The Front Porch and West Virginia Public Broadcasting strong, even in these trying times. And thanks. The AARP has lots and lots of priorities and very diverse membership. If you had to narrow it down in the race for governor, what are some of the things that you want them to talk about in this debate?
Right. So supporting family caregivers is huge for us, along with home and community-based services. And that, again, spans all age groups. It's not just for older West Virginians, but it affects younger West Virginians as well. Also, the idea of being able to save for retirement is an issue. We know people aren't saving enough now, and they need to be. So what can we do to help facilitate people saving their own money for retirement? So those are two big issues for us.
Well, I think that one thing we've talked a lot about for savings is Vera, the idea of having some kind of voluntary employee retirement account thing. And it would be nice if we could get that back on the agenda, because I don't think that's particularly ideological at all. It's just a way of people being able to transfer savings.
It's kind of a common sense idea to allow folks who don't currently have access to a workplace savings account to have that kind of access, again, to save their own money so they can have a dignity in retirement. So
please don't call it a no-brainer, or else it'll never happen for some reason.
I tried to go with a common sense.
That's better. I'm glad.
And Scott, one of the things that the Press Association likes about this is that the issue Gaylene talks about is a statewide issue. One of the things about the partnership that we have is the issues impact everybody across West Virginia, and the media and the groups involved reach out to every county. So no matter where you're located in the state, this debate will have something that impacts your life, and it will be accessible anywhere in West Virginia. And we think that's a key.
One other issue that I think needs to be discussed and looked at and explored and finding solution to, and that's access to affordable, reliable, high-speed internet. And again, I think that's a challenge our state faces, and I'm hopeful that the candidates will talk about their ideas for addressing that.
Yeah, and stereotypically, stupidly, some people might say, why is that an AARP issue? Old people don't use the internet. But that's not true at all.
Not true at all. And again, if we want to explore the promise of telehealth and telemedicine, avoiding social isolation, boy, easy for me to say, right? Those are a couple of key components. And so during the last legislative session, we partnered with Generation West Virginia, which is the young professionals organization, to talk about the fact that this high-speed internet, broadband, if you will, is important to all West Virginians.
And I'd like to speak to that. I mean, there's a bunch of grumpy old guys like me trolling on the internet, and that's really important. In fact, I have a suggestion that a friend of mine came up with to deal with West Virginia's budget crisis, is a modest tax on trolling.
That would solve the problem.
More than solve the problem.
Well, and let me talk about a couple of things with West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Our role is to make sure it gets out to as many people as possible. For example, we would live stream it on all the Press Association members' websites and make it available to any TV station or radio station that wants to use it, commercial or non-commercial. Now, my board of directors voted, and this was controversial, but we voted a policy about who is included in debates and who isn't. And I want to address that. And Rick and Lori, if you guys have any questions about this, feel free to weigh in. They voted to say that a candidate has to have 5% support in the polls in order to be invited to a debate that we are sponsoring. And this excludes sometimes candidates that are on the ballot from, like, the Libertarian Party, for example. And there was a Libertarian candidate this week that came out with a press release about this, criticizing us and asking, well, why would you not have every single person on there? And the board's thinking was that in order to have enough time in a debate to really delve into the issues, they want to make sure a candidate is viable. And viable means that you've already shown that you have some support out in the community.
I think that's generally fair, although one question I have is, you know, polling here can be kind of sparse and not always super reliable. So I think, you know, if there's a candidate right there on the threshold of, you know, 4 or 5%, that might be a little bit hairy. But you know, you do have to have some kind of threshold. Otherwise, you have, you know, crazy people like Rick creating their own parties and, you know, trying to elbow in there.
Rick, what would your party be called?
It would be the Silly Party.
And getting back to the point we brought up at the beginning of how many debates are going to be, that's only so much broadcast time. That's only so much print coverage. And even after the debate, we're doing the post-debate spin room, if you will, of the comments. There's only so much time for that. And having the most likely, the most significant, if the term is correct in this position, candidates, giving them the most access is probably best for the voters.
There was only one U.S. Senate debate televised. There was only one gubernatorial debate on the Democratic side before the election. It's getting more and more common that there's just one or two of these things, and the time is really precious.
It needs to be meaningful.
So you guys did do something, as I recall, with some of the smaller parties. Is that right, y'all?
Yeah, we went out of our way to do other things. We interviewed them. We had a debate we tried to actually have a debate here that invited all the candidates, in addition to the debate that just had the two, and Senator Capito declined to come to that one. And so it's increasingly hard to get both of the major candidates to show up at a debate that has other minor candidates. Maybe that's because it's risky when you have that many people in the room. I don't know, Don.
Maybe, but there's also we've seen the situations where the minor, it's a degrading term, I guess, the minor candidates gang up on one of the major candidates. So instead of having a one-on-one debate, you end up with 1-on-4. And I can understand why, if I'm the campaign, I'm not putting my candidate in that situation, because I know the other three who have really no chance of winning are going to coattail with my opponent, and I get one response out of 5.
So I know we have a lot of Libertarian and Mountain Party people listening right now. Feel free, send me an email, sfinn@wvpublic.org, or tweet at us at Radio Finn.
I didn't know we had a lot of people listening at all, Scott.
It's increasingly, come on, you're getting fan email now, Rick Wilson. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Are you on Twitter, Rick?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit?
At El Cabrero, right? Which means?
The goat herder.
Nice.
Can't beat that. And the candidates do have access to the newsrooms. They're getting interviewed. Again, you guys are bringing them in. Our editors are talking to them. So it's not that they don't have a voice, but in this debate, without 5%, they're not going to be invited. So it's not that we're shutting them out across the state. It's just this one event has rules. And if they can make the rules, we're glad to have them at the table. But they have to do the work, I think, to get there.
Right. And our policy at AARP is maybe just slightly different than public broadcasting's policy. And that is they had to have gained at least 5% of the vote in the previous year's election. So that's just a little different. And it kind of gets to Lori's point. But also what Don was saying about being open to those other candidates. Our watch party in the 2014 election debate with the U.S. Senate, we invited those other candidates to come. They could have a table. They could display their information. They could talk to folks who were attending the watch party. So they did have an opportunity to engage with voters.
As of today, neither candidate has indicated whether they're going to participate in this debate. So as of today, there are other offers out there. But like ours, no one has accepted them yet on both sides. I'll ask both of you this question. Make a case directly to the candidates in their campaigns. Okay. Don?
Absolutely. Well, if you look, we have three nonpartisan organizations that are in all 55 counties of the state. We have a great track record from 2014 of putting together an event that has key topics that gives the candidates a voice to reach out. It was a good partnership then. It's a good partnership now. It will be a fair debate. It will be well organized. And we invite all media in. I think one of the key things that we do is, and public broadcasting deserves credit for this, that feed's available to anybody. We are inclusive in terms of the media and getting it out there. Everyone is invited to pick up the coverage.
Yeah, I think Don really covered it. And I, again, would extend an invitation to other folks who are interested potentially in joining the partnership with us to reach out to Scott, to Don, to me, and let's have a conversation. We are inclusive and we are interested in working with other groups and organizations.
Well, and we're not, we understand there will be other debate offers around the state. Chambers want to do debates, different things happening. The candidates want to decide if they have the time and they want to do those. We're not opposed to those. The more they want to do, that's fine. What our goal was, I think, with this partnership was to make sure there was at least one that was accessible to everybody in West Virginia. And I think we've achieved that with this event.
I would agree. And the idea that all three of our organizations, none of us endorse candidates. We're all nonpartisan. And I think that makes it a safe haven, if you will, for a debate forum.
Okay, so October 4th. We will see if there will be a debate. We are definitely offering one, and we're hoping that they take us up on it. Don Smith, Executive Director of the West Virginia Press Association, and Gaylene Miller, State Director of the West Virginia AARP. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks, Lori.
Thank you. Chariot race may be another option, too, if the cage match or debate doesn't work out.
Again, I'm sure that's very appealing to West Virginia voters.
They're all about it.
All about it.
I got my finger on the pulse.
All right. Thank you both for coming.